Yes, indeed, we're good to go. Let's grab our hymnals, folks, tonight for our final hymn prior to the message. open up to 29, hymn 29. I love the words to this particular song, because one day, by God's grace, we'll all get to heaven. Amen? Indeed, we will. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth. First, third, and fourth. Let's stand for our final hymn. Yes, indeed.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see our Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Hey, there's going to be some shouting time up yonder, folks, when we get to heaven. Please be seated, church. Oh, what a blessing to have you with us tonight. Mary?
Testimony.
You got testimony?
We're going to be grandparents.
Oh, hey, hey, hey! Woo! Your brother Bobby.
They are.
Another baby coming. Another grandbaby. Glory to God. That's like number 8, I think we're going to have. Something like that. Gifts from the Lord. Number 9. That's right. Yeah. Number 9.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. What a blessing. Well, let's grab our Bibles tonight, folks. And we'll open up to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Now, I'm really excited tonight because of the fact that it's been a few weeks, 6 or 7 weeks, since we've been in our studies of the 8 mysteries of the New Testament. But we're coming back to them tonight. And Lord willing, we'll finish up without any other interruptions. But the 8 mysteries of the New Testament for the sound guy tonight is part 6. Part 6. And we've seen 2 of the 5 facets of the kingdom program, God's kingdom program, mystery kingdom program. Tonight, we come to the 3rd. And perhaps we'll get to the 4th facet of His kingdom program. But the 3rd is the theocratic kingdom. Okay? Now, as you turn into Exodus chapter 19, we're still looking at the 1st of our 8 mysteries of the New Testament. That is the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom program. And remember that there are actually 5 specific facets of the mystery of the kingdom. We're already have seen the first 2. The first was the mystery of the kingdom, that is the universal eternal kingdom. That was the first facet of the mystery kingdom. The second facet was the spiritual kingdom. And that brings us to the 3rd facet of the kingdom program, and that is the theocratic kingdom. Now, the term theocratic, it's actually refers to God's rule over Israel. That's because Israel was established originally as a theocracy. God was ruling over the people. There was no government, there was no kings, there was nothing but God. It was a pure theocracy. We'll have that again when the Son of God reigns and rules the world. But the actual constitution of this theocracy, this theocratic kingdom, was the Mosaic Law. It was instituted with the Mosaic Covenant at Sinai. In Exodus chapter 19, look with me at verse 1. I want to show you this theocratic kingdom. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. It's Sinai. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a what?
Kingdom.
Kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So right here, after having established the theocratic kingdom over Israel, the kingdom underwent two specific phases. The first phase is what we call the mediatorial kingdom. The mediatorial kingdom. It began with Moses and lasted until Samuel. During this phase of the theocratic kingdom, God ruled his theocracy through mediators, beginning with Moses. Now, these were Moses, Joshua, all of the judges, with the last judge named Samuel. Then, the second phase of the theocratic kingdom is what we call the monarchical kingdom. The monarchical kingdom. That phase stretches from King David, whom Samuel, the last judge, anointed king over Israel, to King Zedekiah, the final king, whom the king of Babylon took into captivity into Babylon for 70 years. Now, during this second phase of the theocratic kingdom, God ruled his theocracy through the house of David. The Davidic kingdom was totally theocratic. Go with me to 2 Samuel, we'll see this. The Davidic kingdom was totally theocratic. In 2 Samuel, chapter 7, we have the historical event of the instituting of the Davidic kingdom. Look with me in verse 1. 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king, David, sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Yeah, it was in the tabernacle still. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. And all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee, whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name. like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, it's a kingdom, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house, kingdom. And when thy, now David wants to make the Lord a house, and the Lord says, I'm going to make you a house, David. When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his, what? Kingdom. He, Solomon, shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now, David is completely overwhelmed with what the word of the Lord just came to him through the prophet Nathan. And he bows before the Lord here. We won't take time to read it. He gets on his face before God. He's, oh, Lord God, who am I that thou shouldst bless thy servant so abundantly? Because he says, not only have you spoken of my present kingdom, but of a great time to come. Amen. Now this passage, the parallel passage, mark it down, is 1 Chronicles chapter 17. But they're not the same. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God is speaking to David and his physical son Solomon. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, God is speaking to David and his physical son Jesus Christ, who would come through his lineage, through the seed of the woman. Amen? Because in this passage, if you notice, he says in verse number 14, if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men. That's lacking in 1 Chronicles 17. That doesn't say that, because Jesus Christ cannot sin. Amen? There's a number of hints. I have a list of them that separates this passage from the passage in 1 Chronicles 17. This one speaks of his immediate. This one speaks of the monarchical kingdom. Okay? David and his sons would rule on the throne over Israel. But the passage in 1 Chronicles 17 speaks of the messianic kingdom. Okay? If you understand that, you'll grasp both passages clearly. Now, something happened in the year 586 BC, which brought the theocratic kingdom to an end. Listen, when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple of Solomon, and in that year, the times of the Gentiles began. A period of time where Gentile rulers would have dominion in the earth, and Israel would be in diaspora. That's the dispersion. That's the dispersed throughout all the nations of the world to this day. Now, this period, times of the Gentiles, will last until the second advent of the Son of God, when Jesus Christ will come and take possession of the kingdoms of this world and set up a glorious theocratic kingdom over Israel once again. Now, this period, the times of the Gentiles, has been going on, folks, for 2,600 years. Shortly, though, it will come to a permanent eternal end. Okay? Very shortly. We're hearing these, Timmy's playing those sounds on his smartphone for me on the way to church. These bizarre sounds coming from the atmosphere. Nobody knows what it is. It's occurring all over the world, folks. You know why? Because we're entering that time period where the Son of God is going to come and put an end to the times of the Gentiles forever. Now, the scriptures which deal with the theocratic kingdom over Israel range from Exodus chapter 19 all the way through 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Okay? That's the theocratic kingdom. And we have time tonight, so let's look at our fourth facet of God's kingdom program. The fourth facet, all right, we've seen the first facet of the mystery of the kingdom program, the universal eternal kingdom. The second facet of the kingdom program, the spiritual kingdom. The third facet, the theocratic kingdom. And now for the fourth facet of God's kingdom program, that is the millennial messianic kingdom. The millennial / messianic kingdom. Now, this facet of God's kingdom program is a literal, visible, physical kingdom on earth in which the Son of God in person will rule the entire world for 1,000 years. He will rule upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. And unlike the theocracy of God the Father over Israel, this will be the theocracy of God the Son over Israel and all nations of the world. This facet also has two names. It is called first the Messianic Kingdom, indicating the personal aspect of it, that the Messiah himself will reign and rule over this kingdom for 1,000 years. Messianic. The second title to this kingdom is the Millennial Kingdom. This indicates the time of its duration. A millennium is 1,000, okay? It's going to be 1,000 years that he will rule and reign over his kingdom. Now, listen carefully, beloved. The Messianic Kingdom is rooted and in the fulfillment of, it is the fulfillment of the Davidic Covenant that we read about in 2 Samuel 7, also in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. That kingdom is the ultimate fulfillment of that covenant of David, okay? It is the major subject of Old Testament prophecy, the Davidic kingdom, the millennium that will come. Now, in the New Testament, this kingdom was proclaimed that John the Baptist proclaimed it to be at hand. Go to Matthew. When you see these truths from the Bible, the lens on your spiritual binoculars becomes so focused, it's like, wow, that makes such sense. In Matthew, look in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, a man named John Baptist comes preaching the gospel. But which gospel did he preach? Let's look at it in Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom is at hand. He didn't say, repent and believe the gospel and be born again. He doesn't preach the new birth. He preaches a visible coming kingdom. Okay? Verse 4. Look at it. And this same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. A staple diet. And go to chapter 4 of Matthew. Chapter 4. Look with me at verse 17. From that time, who?
Jesus
began to preach. Here comes Jesus. And to say, repent, for the what?
Kingdom
is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. He doesn't tell them to get born again. He doesn't tell them to get saved. He tells them to repent of their sins to receive the King of the kingdom. Look at verse 23. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people. Jesus, John the Baptist, the 12 apostles, the 70, they all preached the gospel of the kingdom until the kingdom was rejected by that generation of Israel. Okay? This is clear, beloved. Nobody could get born again until Jesus rose from the dead and sent the Holy Spirit. Now, look at chapter 5, if you're still in Matthew. Chapter 5, look at verse 3. Jesus says, we know it's a Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Nothing about new birth. Not here. Not yet. Look with me in chapter 6 of Matthew. Go to verse number 10. Jesus says, pray after this manner. Thy kingdom come. Wow. He's trying to get the people to ask the Father to set up the kingdom. See that? People have this confused. A lot of Christians think this is the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the disciples' prayer. John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Okay? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Drop down to verse 33 of chapter 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus is trying to get Israel to look at the kingdom that he wanted to set up over them. But they wouldn't. Look at chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus says the kingdom will only be entered not by those who are born again, but by those Jews who do the will of the Father, okay, and seek the kingdom. That's the messianic millennial kingdom. Now, go to chapter 9. Chapter 9, look at me at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Who is Jesus going to? Who is he preaching to? Jews. The only people on planet Earth that had synagogues were Jews. He's only going to Jews right now. No Gentile is being preached to, okay? Because the kingdom wasn't being offered to Gentiles. It was being offered to the Jews only. Look at it. And he was teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of grace. No, the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, the Messiah, the prophecy said that Messiah would raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, heal the brokenhearted, open the ears of the deaf. He would work miracles. So when Jesus would preach the gospel of the kingdom that he wanted to set up over Israel 2,000 years ago, it would be accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay? We don't need those today, signs, wonders, and miracles. We need faith. And we need the Word of God, because it's complete. They didn't have the New Testament then. Look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 7. You're getting the idea. And as ye go, Jesus tells his disciples, preach, saying, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. All right, now listen, beloved. Something occurs, all has been fine thus far in Matthew's gospel through 11 chapters. Jesus, John Baptist, the disciples, the 70, they're all preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom. Jesus wanted to set up the kingdom, but something occurs in chapter 12 that slams the door shut to that first century generation of Jews concerning the messianic kingdom. Tim?
Is this just for Jews or Gentiles also? I'm confused.
No, it's just for Jews at this point.
Okay.
Just for Jews, because he was offering the kingdom to Israel.
Okay.
See? And if they accepted it, he would have set it up. It was a legitimate offer, folks. Make no bones about that. Because he still offered it to them after Pentecost, when Stephen was being martyred. He stood up. Would Israel receive the message of Stephen, the first martyr? They wouldn't, of course. They rejected it. But look at chapter 12. Where this kingdom is being offered to the Jews. Good question, Tim. In chapter 12, look with me at verse 22. Something horrific happens here. Verse 22. Then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with a demon, a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. He cast the demon out of the boy. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Notice what the people said. This is our Messiah. He has power over the demons. He must be Messiah. That's the common folk. We're saying that. But look at verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it. Who were the Pharisees? The religious leadership of Israel, right? The religious leaders, listen folks, look at verse 24. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They accused Jesus Christ of working miracles by satanic power. Okay? Now, folks, this is an unpardonable sin for this generation of Jews. Not for you, but for this generation of Jews. Listen, why is it unpardonable? Who was bodily present among them in the flesh? God. God was there. So there was an unpardonable sin in the first century AD when the Son of God was present on earth. And that was accusing him of working by satanic power. Why? Because he was working by the holy power of the Holy Spirit, which he had without measure. 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every what? Kingdom. Jesus points to a kingdom. And he says, boys, there's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light. That's my kingdom. I want to set it up over you. And there's a kingdom of darkness. A kingdom of evil. And folks, at times these days, I think we're living in that kingdom of darkness and evil. It's so wicked out there. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. He's talking about the house of Israel. 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? Folks, listen to me. Before we go any further, let me make a statement. All people on planet Earth belong. They may not like it, and they may not admit it, and they may not even know it. But all people belong to one of two kingdoms. They either belong to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, or they belong to the kingdom of Satan, the devil. There is no neutral ground. I'm neutral. I don't go either way. I'm not religious, and yet I believe there is a God somewhere. Nope. There's no way around it. Jesus just said it. There's two kingdoms. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the what? Kingdom is come unto you. Jesus said, do you not recognize me? I'm casting demons out of your possessed ones. I'm working miracles among you, and the kingdom is come to you. Why could Jesus say the kingdom has come to you? Why could he say that? Ellie?
He's in his power to give it, right?
Right. He's the king of the kingdom.
He was operating under the Holy Spirit, too. That's the kingdom.
Yes. Yes, the king was bodily present, so he said, the kingdom has come unto you. He says, you're looking at the kingdom, if you're looking at me. Amen. Glory to God. Now, look with me here in Matthew chapter number 12. Drop down with me to verse number 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Jesus is telling them, I want to bind Satan. I want to destroy his kingdom and set up my kingdom over you right now. Will you have it? Will you accept it? 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, which they just committed, shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, folks, immediately in chapter 13, by the way, they committed the unpardonable sin there in chapter 12, right? They rejected the king of the kingdom, and they went one step further, which was unforgivable. They accused him of working by satanic power. And Jesus said, you know what? You guys never have forgiveness. But he said, I will offer this kingdom to another generation of Jews, and they will receive it sometime in the future. Now, immediately after this chapter, where the king of the kingdom is rejected by the religious leaders of Israel, in chapter 13, the Messiah issues seven kingdom parables, which we'll see next week, are speaking of the fifth facet of God's kingdom program called the mystery kingdom. Right now, the kingdom of God program is in mystery form. Okay? You all know that. It's in mystery form because you can't see it. Paul said the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's within you. It's invisible. It's within you because the Spirit of God is in you. Okay? So it's in mystery form. We're going to look in great detail next week, and I highly doubt that we'll get through the fifth facet of the first mystery next week, but probably a few weeks on that, because the mystery kingdom is so involved. there's so much material in the scriptures concerning the mystery form of the kingdom which we're now in. Now realize here, church, that even though the messianic kingdom, millennial, was rejected by that first century Jewish generation, sadly, yet it will be received unanimously by the final Jewish generation, at least those who survived the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week of tribulation. But let's take a moment to observe the results of Israel's rejection of this kingdom. Go to Isaiah 49. I want to show you the result of Israel rejecting the king and the kingdom. Isaiah, and we'll be done. Isaiah 49. This is powerful. Don't miss this. Because of Israel's rejection of the king and his kingdom, which he preached until chapter 12, starting in chapter 13, he preached mystery kingdom, Gentiles included. All the world. You'll see the word, we'll see it next week, all the world. In chapter 49 of Isaiah, what is the result of their rejection of the king and the kingdom? Listen, O isles, unto me. Now, somebody tell me in the scriptures, who are the isles? Who are the isles? Who does that represent? That's right, Miriam, the Gentiles of the world. Because those are the seven continents, they're like big, huge islands in the oceans, you know. And he calls them the isles. That's the nations of the world. It's everyone except the Jews. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. The Lord hath called me, whoever this me is, we'll see it, from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Yeah, in all the prophecies he did. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. You know how many of you know the words of Jesus are so powerful? He cuts to the heart, man. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. Yeah, all through the Old Testament, Israel didn't know the Son of God. Look at it. And made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. But he's about to unveil him. He said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel. He calls him O Israel because he was fully Jewish blood. In whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. Something happens in verse 4. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. In verse 4, the kingdom is rejected by Israel. See that? Because he mentions Israel in verse 3. And in verse 4, there's a rejection of this servant of the Lord, the Messiah. 5, and now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered. Time out, church. Why? Why isn't Israel gathered 2,000 years ago?
Because they were dispersed.
Right. After rejecting the kingdom, they were dispersed. That's right, Steve. Look at it. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I, whoever this personage is, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. That's the remnant. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. I love this. 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, that's the Messiah, to him whom man despiseth, that's the Messiah, to him whom the nation abhorreth, Israel to this day abhors. Hey, folks, I got a family member that's Jewish. And I tried to talk to this fellow. Nobody here knows what I'm talking about, but he's full-blood Jew. And I tried talking to him over the holidays. I said, are you waiting for Messiah like we are? And he said, I don't believe in a Messiah. Just like that, he said, I don't believe in a Messiah. He said, yeah. I said, I thought you were Jewish. He said, I'm Jewish, but I don't believe in no Son of God. That's what he said, okay? They abhor him to this day, the Jews. But folks, I got news for you. By the time the end of the 7 years tribulation comes and Jesus Christ comes down, they will recognize their own Messiah and they will accept him and they will begin to love him finally. Look at, to whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation, what nation? Israel abhorreth. That word means hate. To a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Oh, this is so good. Spiritual joy. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Glory to God. He says, look at verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Beloved, this passage is speaking about Gentile salvation in mass. That he would give, the Father would give his Son, the Messiah of Israel, to be the salvation of the entire world. All those who would come to him. Now, in closing, that was the result of Israel's rejecting the Messiah. He became the Savior to the whole world, all those who would receive him. Next week, we will look at the fifth and final facet of the first mystery of the New Testament, that is the mystery kingdom in which we are now living. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight. Lord, how we thank you for the word of God. Lord, it's so clear, being premillennial, dispensational, we can see the big picture. Lord, we can see, our eyes are open, our ears are open to the truths of what saith the Spirit of God. And Lord, we thank you that because of Israel's rejection of the king and kingdom 2,000 years ago, we have received him as our personal Savior, Lord and Master. We thank you that, Lord, your salvation extendeth to the ends of this earth. I am so glad that any soul, anywhere, anytime, can be saved by receiving the King personally as their God. We love you tonight, Lord. We ask you to continue to bless us as we explore the eight mysteries of the New Testament. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. Yes, sir. June?
Oh, I'm saying yes, sir.
Oh, let's open up our hymnals to 84. We'll finish tonight. We'll stand and we'll sing hymn 84. Praise the Lord. We are in the kingdom already, beloved. The kingdom is in us. And we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth of hymn 84.
I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. in mansions of glory and endless delight. An ever of glory in heaven so bright.
Praise the Lord. Good singing tonight, folks. Thank you for being in the house of God this Sunday. We look forward to Wednesday night at 7 for a Bible study in the book of Galatians and for family church prayer meeting to follow. If you can join us, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Brother Tim, dismiss us in prayer tonight.
Lord, thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Please help us to have spiritual eyes and ears to know what the pastor's trying to teach us. I ask that you would answer the prayers of the people of this church, Lord God, if it's in your will. We ask that you would protect and watch over the people that are sick tonight, that couldn't come to church because of their ailments, Lord God. And I ask this in the body of your Son. Amen.
Amen.